Hey, y'all, please rate and review us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. It helps folks like you find us through search so they can learn more about wine. We will read any review. It doesn't even have to be pertinent to our podcast, so long as it's rated 5 stars.
Just don't be offensive.
Yeah, just don't be a D-bag. And yeah, just thank you guys so much for listening to us.
Please be sure to subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty well today. How are you?
I'm good.
Cheers.
Cheers, Bamcha. Bamcha. So we are drinking probably 3 wines today.
I think so.
We are both employed now.
Well, yay.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You were employed, but now you're like doubly employed.
Now I'm like extra employed.
Now Fiona's at, I was going to say fiance.
That's my new name. Hashtag fiance.
Hashtag fiance. Fiona's at a really fun, fancy restaurant in Los Angeles, so I'm super excited for you.
Thanks.
And now we can conquer the world once again.
Yeah.
We're just going to probably get home every night and have our feet hurting and might get server chafed between our legs.
But... yeah, no, I definitely have to wear my compression socks because I'm now over 30.
Yeah. So. And I am almost there. Real fast, what we're drinking right now is not really what we're going to be talking about through the episode, but I pulled out the Mencia I was mentioning from a past episode. This is a grape from Northwest Spain. It's drinking like a Cab Franc. Mm-hmm. It is a medium to fuller bodied red wine. Silky tannin on the tongue, which... the way I think of silky tannin, it just makes my tongue tingle and like lightly numb, but it's not drying my mouth out. It's like really focused on just one area of my palate. Mm-hmm. Really good for, it's brambly, really good for like, you know, gamey or umami mm-hmm. foods. So like yeah. Rabbit, lamb, maybe even some like wild boar.
Yeah, definitely mm-hmm. duck.
Yes.
You know, anything in that family.
Price point on this bottle was like, I bought it at cost for $14. Which is great, but yeah, so by the glass at the restaurant, like $15-16 probably.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
Maybe retail, like let's add $2 to $5. Mm-hmm. So what, $20 max? Not bad.
Tops.
Yeah.
Tops that.
Yeah.
Also, we were saying it's Spanish wine, which is usually price point mm-hmm. agreeable.
Yeah.
So who knows if this will land on our company Vivino, which you all need to get on because
yeah.
Vivino Wars are happening and they are real, y'all. People are winning.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Michael Matter,
right.
for
yeah.
like liking our reviews, and following us.
Yeah.
You are awesome.
Yeah, like you are our number one fan in our minds.
Yes, the other guy who won our Vivino War has not gotten back to us yet, but Vivino is a little funny about like push notifications.
Right.
Like I don't necessarily see all the interactions that happen with our page until mm-hmm. unless I go searching for them. There's
well,
no.
I turned all of my Vivino notifications off because mm-hmm. I found it to be so annoying.
I think there's more notifications on mobile.
Yeah.
But because that sound talks with Vino's on my desktop, there's no section right. for it. And I don't get like email notifications either. We'll work on
yeah.
that. But anyway, if we were to post about this wine on a 1 to 5 scale on Vino, and you're allowed to do 0.5 decimal point.
Yeah.
Too.
4.5.
Yeah.
Great wine.
Yeah, I'd also say like 4.5.
Yeah.
Value wise, it's all there.
Yeah.
Taste wise,
it
it's
all,
there.
It all makes sense.
Yes. I would both have this in my fridge. And I would drink this out at a restaurant.
Oh, absolutely.
And if we got a bottle, I'd be like, that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Awesome.
So, yeah, let's just do our wine quote of the day.
Cool. We'll do the wine quote and then see where we go from there.
Yeah.
So this is from Hugh Johnson. He says, wine is like sex in that few men will admit not knowing all about it. I think that is so, like, that is on the nose. Like, especially, you know, men like to pretend like they know everything and they sound so ridiculous sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean... You know, and it's everyone too. Mm-hmm. Like, it is a lot of times boys, but mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It's just funny to like, you get people love wine, like, they love other experiences, as mentioned in the quote. But it is funny because it's like taste. Like, I remember Ira Glass from what's that podcast called?
This American Life.
He did this whole episode once. I don't know if it was through This American Life or something else that he was like on,
mm-hmm.
but it was about taste.
Mm-hmm.
It was about like, a lot of people like know what taste is,
yeah.
but it's hard to distinguish like taste sometimes from like your lexicon of words to describe the wine.
Mm-hmm.
So you're like, when you're talking to the server, you're like, I like sweet. And it's mm-hmm. like, I know you mean I like fruit forward.
Right. Well, that's also part of the profession of being a server is translating those words.
Right. And eventually, you know, through a podcast like this, you're essentially just like honing the taste you already have.
Right.
You already know what tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like hard to explain it sometimes
yeah.
to the person that you're trying to get information out of. I had a person the other day be like, what kind of white wine do you like? And they were like, I like really dense Chardonnays, really heavy. I also like peat pools. Okay, so you just like white wine.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. And I, it's at the end of the day, it's not embarrassed. I'm not going to make them embarrassed. Yeah. Like,
well, it's also,
I like all white wine too.
Something that you can kind of pull from that too is that they don't actually want something. They don't want something too natty. You know, like they want something a little more in like that classic vein.
They didn't say anything really out there.
Yeah. But
what's interesting is they are more open minded than they might see themselves as.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't think they're necessarily seeing the. I think one thing for sure is like people don't view body on the same spectrum that someone in wine does, and right. A lot of people don't know. I think that menus are catered from a high low,
right,
or from a low high.
Right.
A lot of wine lists are formatted in that way.
Yeah. Just to clarify, when he's talking about low to high, you start when you're reading a wine list, you're going to see like the lightest bodied by the glass and probably by the bottle first, and then they get heavier as you go down.
That's
the list.
At least what the expectation should be. Yeah. Sometimes like the wine isn't necessarily like fully on the mark, but like when the somm or like the person is like constructing the menu, like that's the intention usually, mm-hmm. and it makes it a lot easier to read all of a sudden.
Right.
You know, in certain things that like. You might want to be like, oh, I really like Sauvignon Blanc or Sancerre. Mm-hmm. There's a Muscadet at the top of that list. Like,
it's gonna be really
that's
similar.
Where to go.
Yep.
Even if you don't know those words, that's exactly where you should mm-hmm. where you should lead. And I've had that happen a bunch too. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But yeah, so cool. So we're just going to take a quick break. And then we're going to jump into some really fun wines today.
So excited.
Woo!
I'm so excited about this. Can I just start talking about it?
Yeah, so start from the top. What is it?
Okay, so the first thing that I want to say is this is probably my favorite domestic producer. It's called Lo-Fi. They make it in Santa Barbara County. They have their tasting room up in Los Alamos. Awesome people, awesome wine. I've only had like one wine where I was like, this is weird, but it's natural wine, so it's not always going to be perfect. So what we're drinking today is a Pet Nat.
For as long as I've known Fiona, I've known her love of this producer. I need to stress that I'm not surprised that she's so excited about drinking this. And we've had, what have we had? We've had their Cap Franc. We've had their Gamay Noir.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Yes. Which kind of drink a little Cap Franc-y.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a little lighter body, I would say. Yeah.
Gamay. Yeah. But, so this is my first, I think this is my first like white grape with you.
Yeah. From this producer.
And
yeah.
I also think this is my first bubbles from this producer. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
I don't know if they had made a previous vintage of bubbles before. I don't really remember what they had. Maybe they did it. They must've done a 2018.
Would we consider Pet Nats bubbles or they just happen to have effervescence mm-hmm. because of the way it's produced? Cause we can already see right now the way it looks in the glass. It's not like someone poured out some sparkling rosé or mm-hmm. some, we can see the fizzy on the top.
Right. Oh, so there's another thing, like Pet Nats in particular, you have the crown cap a lot of the time. I've noticed that at least, which is the cap that you get on beer bottles or something.
Yep.
It's just nice, easier to.
It does look kind of like a Saison-y mm-hmm. for sure. It's like a cloudy yellow.
Yeah, it's a.
You can see if you're stirring the wine, all of a sudden you can kind of see it have this kind of like orangina
yeah.
element to it.
Something they say on their website is there is sediment, so you do have to be careful when you get to the bottom of the bottle. I think this smells like peach rings, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, so it is Chenin Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
We have not. I haven't tasted it yet. I'm just smelling.
It smells so great. Yeah, like total peach rings vibes, but like not in like the Moscato peach rings vibes.
Ooh, I do. So they were saying pineapple and bergamot.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like soft orangina.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's totally what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's super pineapple-y. It's very like agua fresca. So this is very different from the one that I had at the time, which was a little more like a little less fruit forward. But again, it'll vary from bottle to bottle.
Right. And so this is, what's that term called? Bottle variation, or is there a different word for it?
I don't know. It just, especially with natural wine, it's going to vary a lot more from bottle to bottle
which is why like natural and biodynamic wine is kind of like, There's kind of like a rift between yeah. those who really love it and those who don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't want to sell this kind of thing because at a restaurant you could be like, this tastes really different than the last one I had.
Yeah.
But I think for people, especially in Los Angeles, who mm-hmm. like organic and kind of unique, something different,
yeah.
this is really fun. I don't mind if the bottle varies from time to time. And oftentimes when I buy something, I'm not buying it over and over and over again. I like to just spread my money around and try mm-hmm. something new all the time. So,
well, it's even so the my favorite and probably the most popular wine from this producer is the Cab Franc, and I got one when I got this bottle, and it tasted a little bit different than what I'm used to. Granted, it's a different vintage than what I'm used to, but like it's a new year. The other thing about this producer in particular, they're like they don't hang on to their bottles. They're like drink it as soon as it's yes. ready to be drunk.
Yes, which is like what we've been saying mm-hmm. all this kind of stuff. This kind of stuff I adore. This stuff is also what sometimes gives me like a little acid reflux for mm-hmm. sure. That's not, you know, and it's something that you're just like aware to. Mm-hmm. It's the same if I drink too much beer or too right. much of anything, but I definitely.
Yeah, in general, drinking too much of anything is a bad
yes.
idea.
But I can a little feel it already. Not too overwhelming. I still adore this wine, but this is something that like I want to be sharing with friends. I could not drink this all on my own in one sitting.
Oh,
for
no,
sure.
Absolutely not. Yeah. But I also think it's a very brunchy wine. It's like, it's a different brunchy wine, like 4 p.m. It's still hot outside.
This is a perfect substitute for mimosa.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. This is the most mimosa wine I've ever freaking had.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's, yeah, this is, if I was with a bunch of biddies and they were like, mm-hmm. let's do mimosas and this was on the menu, I'd be like, let's do the lo-fi mm-hmm. 2019 Chenin Blanc Pet Nat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's gonna be the same freaking thing.
Yeah, and we don't have to deal with the orange juice.
Yes. Yeah. None of us are dealing with OJ.
Yeah. We just have to have the bottle.
It's the second episode where we've been mentioning mimosas. I love it.
I know.
I want to be that kind of thing where, like, we mentioned something from, like, 3 episodes ago, right. And we, like, bring it back to the front.
Yeah, I can't even remember which episode it was, but it was really recently that
which
we had the other
bottles. Which
is
also super cool, yeah. That we have, like, a backlog that you can tune in and listen to.
Episode 7?
This is going to be episode 7.
That's crazy.
That's so crazy.
Aww.
But yeah, cheers to that.
Yes, Sancha.
Mm. We've had some really cool, like, listeners, mm-hmm. I thought to, like, mention. So on Anchor, you can kind of see, like, who's been listening in. In the U.S., mm-hmm. We have listeners in Arizona, Virginia, Colorado. Obviously, the states me and Fiona are from Connecticut, New Jersey, respectively, mm-hmm. and a lot in Southern California, from L.A. all the way down to San Diego.
Yeah, so thanks, friends.
Yeah, and we have some international listeners, too. We have listeners in Portugal, Australia, Costa Rica, and Mexico. So
thank
that's
you,
really
international
cool.
friends. Also, yes. if you want to make your 5-star review in your native language,
totally
we
fine.
will also read those.
Maybe we'd like run it through Google Translate and then we would read it just so it didn't sound like we were like butchering anything.
I mean, like, I feel like that's part of the fun.
Yeah, but I speak Spanish, so I could kind of like get around to that. But right. If it were in anything else, I'd probably have to run it through Google Translate.
I mean, I speak French.
So yeah, okay, so yeah, Spanish and French, we're good at.
Like, we cannot do Portuguese.
I can say unomin comen uma matza. Which is like the boy eats an apple. And I learned that through hashtag Duolingo.
Oh, nice. Yeah, no, Portuguese confuses me so much.
My friend Kate is like amazing at learning languages. Mm-hmm. And like, she just immersed herself in Brazil for 1 year and mm-hmm. literally is like fluent at Portuguese. It's just
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's just really impressive to listen to her. And she still has all these friends in Recife, and we would just be, which is in northern Brazil. And she would just be on the phone when we were living in San Francisco, and she'd just be like catching up with them. And she would just be spouting off in Portuguese. And
that's
it was
insane.
Like so cool. When I was there, it was like the Spanish I knew from being in Argentina, like mm-hmm. when I was studying abroad, could be understood. But like when someone would speak back to me in Portuguese, I was like, I don't know what's
totally
going on.
Over your head, yeah.
I would love to know it.
Yeah, I'm not.
But anyway, so what are we going to rate this wine?
I actually think like 4, 3.5, 4. Like, I like it a lot. I just like, it's not as crushable as I wanted it to be.
Yeah, I would say, 3.5.
Yeah.
This is really fun to have. Mm-hmm. This is like really fun to pull out on people.
Yeah.
I would do this totally for what I said before and like fool people and call this mimosas.
Mm-hmm.
I would give this to people and say it was mimosa.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, ha, it's not.
Right. It's just straight up wine.
Yeah.
ABV on this, even. I'm just curious. I can't find it. Hand harvested, sustainably grown grapes, indigenous yeast, naturally occurring malolactic bacteria. Yeah, I mean, like, and that's all natty stuff.
Let's make a poem.
Ooh.
Hi, we have a reservation for 5 at 12:30.
Sounds great. I have just the wine for you.
Orange blossoms. What are you about to do? Orange blossoms opening ripe petals in California sunlight.
Vegan, gluten-free, kale salad, dressing on the side.
Oh my God, Becky, is that a new dry shampoo?
Yeah, it is.
Cheers.
Cheers.
I love dry shampoo. Not that I've ever used it. There was a whole dry shampoo craze for like a hot minute in like 2013, mm-hmm. 2014. It was really,
I remember
like
it very well.
Dry shampoo.
Yeah.
I used to like make so much fun about dry shampoo. Not because I don't think it works or doesn't work. Mm-hmm. It was just like such a moment.
Oh yeah, no. Everybody, like, I remember being in Australia with my friend and she had dry shampoo and it was like the first time I ever used it and I hated it because it's also, everybody's hair is different.
Yeah.
You know? And so like,
is it better if your hair is oily to use dry shampoo? I don't know.
It's not necessarily about like whether or not your hair is oily or dry. It's more about the texture of your hair.
Mm-hmm.
And people who have curly hair do better with dry shampoo. Like for me, it just makes my hair look disgusting.
Yeah, like natty and like not in a natty wine kind of way.
No, like matte.
Matty.
Yeah.
Matty, natty.
Yeah, matty, natty. It's
I was trying to like affiliate wine words with hair texture because you can have oily texture with wine.
Sure.
You can have natty wine.
Yeah, you can have that like, yeah, it's a lot like it's a petrol kind of sheen. To my hair.
Ooh, I'm loving this like wine and hair crossover moment.
It's a little gross, but like I'm on board.
Yes. And now we're gonna actually go into a new wine.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so now we're doing... Fiona brought another wine. Is this also from Lou's?
This is also from Lou's. We didn't say that before. Did we?
If we didn't, we're saying it again now.
Yeah. Lou's over in Los Feliz, probably my favorite wine store because it's kind of in my neighborhood. He's great. He, like, anytime... we've definitely talked about it before, but if you ever have any questions about wine and you go to Lou's, they are so cool, so approachable, so nice. They'll answer any questions, help you out in any way, shape, or form.
So the way I'm doing this right now, the way I'm opening this wine is I'm doing it as if I was serving Fiona tableside because there's a certain element involved in doing this where the thing I've never been good at is taking the label off with the... taking the top off with the label still presented to the guest. Mm-hmm. But I just did that like very comfortably, and now I put the wine key I'm using right now is actually pretty awesome though. Yep, that's still facing her. I might switch to this wine key because the other one I have is really cute, but the knife is a little too short.
Oh
yeah, and so present the wine. Mm-hmm. And then I still have it pointing to you. Mm-hmm. I should, if it was open hand service and I'm on your left, I should be doing it with my left hand though, right? All right, so I focus on that.
Ideally, if we're doing actual open-handed service, you're serving me
from the right,
but my right hand side is next to a wall, so we're doing it this way.
Yes, and I'm doing the arm farthest from her. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm reaching over her.
You don't want your shoulder in the way. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I was just explaining it. You don't want to like put your shoulder in somebody's face.
So I'm pouring with my left hand, which is my non-dominant hand, so it's a little bit more awkward. And then you do a flick of the wrist up. Normally I'd have a serviette in my hand to kind of, mm-hmm. you know, wipe the top. That was pretty good, right?
That was great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, we still got to work a little bit on your, like, strength in the left hand, because, like,
a little awkward.
I probably would have poured a little bit less for, like, if we were doing
a taste. Oh, I didn't have to taste it. Yeah. I didn't do that. I was just...
You were just pouring.
Because she bought the...
Yeah.
Because it's... Yeah,
so I forgot to. I bought this without really knowing anything, honestly. Yes. Like, so Lou had, like, a whole article about this on the front page of his website. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought to myself, cool, sounds great. This is what we're buying this month.
So is this like so it says Pinot de Anise? So is this like a grape that's similar to Pinot Noir, or does it just happen to have the name, but it's nothing like it?
I mean, like, it's not even spelled the same.
It's not spelled the same, yeah.
Yeah, so Pinau, right? Mm-hmm. Is that D apostrophe Auniss?
And is the producer the Vignoble di Noce?
Yeah, I'd imagine like that, or it's the chateau, the house that it comes from.
Yeah.
So the thing that I found out about this grape in particular, Pinot d'Anis, is that it's a medieval grape. They had a lot of it before the Phylorexa. I can never think about how to say it. It's mm-hmm. Latin. No one knows how to pronounce Latin. Before that.
Some people know how to pronounce Latin.
No, no one is alive who knows how to speak Latin.
Oh, I thought like, okay. I mean, you know what I mean? A good point. Yeah.
They died a really long time ago.
Yeah.
They died before the people who know how to like speak Latin.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about this grape, Pinot d'Anis, is that it's a medieval grape. There used to be a lot of it. The blight came. It killed a lot of grapes. There were only like maybe 100 vines left. And it's native to Loire at this point, even though like you can, there's all sorts of like,
it tastes medium bodied.
Oh yeah.
It tastes like truly medium bodied. Yeah,
my whole story about it is usually it's used for like blending grapes, but like we're starting to see it like,
which is like I had recently on our menu, we have a Pinot Meunier, which mm-hmm. is also added to like like sparkling wines for body, but it's like a, how do you feel about this wine?
It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. How much was this bottle?
26. Yeah, it's really it's like really really light bodied.
You think it's really light bodied?
I think it's like it.
I think it's light to medium for sure.
I mean,
even its color is a little it, like it's yeah. really, its color is super dark. Well, it's ruby around the edges,
right? Yeah, it's a little soapy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Again, hashtag cilantro.
Yeah, yeah, really, really. Again, I just bought this because, and it might not even be the exact bottle that.
And I like the history.
Yeah,
this is, you're buying this because of the history too.
Yeah,
you're buying like a really unique grape.
Yeah,
this is definitely. I almost feel like is this a natural wine though?
Because it's, I don't know.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, let me look.
No worries. I'm just saying that this tastes like what I feel like, not to be ageist, but I feel like older people would love this red wine.
Mm-hmm.
This is like super just. I think what's weird isn't that the wine is weird. The mm-hmm. wine is weird because it's super accessible.
Yeah,
it's a grape that we don't expect to know, and this wine is just very normal red wine.
Yeah. Can I read a brief excerpt of what Lou has to say about Pinot d'Anis?
Yeah.
No, Pinot d'Anis is not for everyone, but with regards to its detractors, fuck them.
Yeah, I feel like this wine would be totally good to have like with a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You and me would not be drinking this.
We would not want, like...
It'd be seen too, like, it'd be too average.
Yeah.
There's nothing unique about this.
It's just like... But it is good. The reason that I say it's light-bodied is because the flavor is there and then gone. You know, like, it comes into your mouth.
It is,
and it just sort of disappears.
Pinot-y in that way. It's like...
Yeah.
But it's not... Is it?
But like, it's not... It's not, like, fruit-forward or even, like... Or even
on the
earthy.
Nose, it's a little, like, cherry.
Yeah.
It reminds me... I mean, I know this is a little weird, but it reminds me of that Malbec I buy at that liquor store that we did on an earlier episode.
Oh, interesting. I think this
not
is lighter.
Not the body. The smell. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't have the same tannins mm-hmm. at all. It's not like mouth drying, mm-hmm. which is, you know, but...
Yeah, really not.
It really... Like, it has, like, that red fruit aroma on the mm-hmm. nose. But that Malbec that I buy at the liquor store is its own unique thing, too. Mm-hmm. So...
There's also, like, a little bit of, like, booziness to this. Like, it also goes away really quickly, but, like, when you swish it around your mouth, you get a little of that, like, hot, boozy.
This is, like, high-end mafia wine.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I'm eating, like, in the back room of an Italian restaurant, and they're, like, gabagool, spicoli, cannoli. By the way, I don't care for cannolis.
I don't remember the last time I had one as an
used
adult.
To always have them as a kid in my right. like my great uncle's place. And they'd be like, "Hey, little Tony, here's a cannoli." And I was at a restaurant recently. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing restaurant. Who was Fiona's friend just got hired at? Mm-hmm. But they wanted the guy was telling me that the cannoli was the best dessert, and I was like, "Is it a life changing cannoli?" And he was like, "No, it's just really good." And we didn't order it, but he yeah. brought me out one on the house just to be nice. Mm-hmm. And I tried it. I was like, "This is great," but it's a cannoli.
Yeah, when we were having this conversation, I was like. I like cannolis, but Zeppelis are where it's at.
Ooh, what's a Zeppeli?
It's only for St. Joseph's Day.
Okay.
And so it's like...
That's the name of my godfather.
St. Joseph's Day?
No. No, but anyway,
It's, I forget what kind of... It's a really light, fluffy pastry. Uh-huh. And then it has cream on the inside. And there's always just like a maraschino cherry stuck to the outside.
Okay.
And honestly, it's another thing that I haven't had since I was a kid. But like my dad would bring them to me like every, like, because it's around Easter. Like,
there's no like, there used to be like a Little Italy in LA. And it's there, but now it's more
like. I don't
even
know where to find
it. It's where Chinatown is.
We should go down to the one in San Diego.
We should.
Yeah.
And I long for like old school Italian.
A checker.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's like a nana in there making, you know, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, even like I say my last name when I did my dry cleaning today, and she was like, "I'm just gonna take your first name down because your last name just sounds so complicated." I'm like, "My last name is seven letters, but right. no one knows how to pronounce it. It's Jambra.
Jambra.
Yeah. But anyway, so what would we rate this wine?
2.5, 3.
Yeah, 3.
Yeah.
It's definitely like that bottle price is kind of high, you know. So mm-hmm. I think if you're buying this wine, it's because it's like cool that you're drinking a freaking medieval grape.
Yeah.
Before like the whole European grape plague happens, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, like
you're
anything
history.
Else, you're drinking history. Yeah. Yeah. We didn't say it at the beginning, but like both of these are like mid-20s. So like these are higher price point than what we've been doing.
At a restaurant, you'd be paying like $50 to $60
mm-hmm.
for these.
For these, yeah.
Mid-60s,
which is, I mean. For us, like, totally...
That's reasonable. Normal.
Yeah.
That's, like, so normal on the road. But, you know, it's, like, something that you're probably not going to, like... Once you buy this once, you're probably not going to, like, buy it again. You're probably going to want to take that money and buy something else that's new.
Mm-hmm.
And let's make a poem for this, because why not? This is going to be... this is a longer episode because of that, too.
Yeah. Walking through a medieval palace, I smelled some cherries.
Roasting over an open fire.
But there wasn't a ton of smoke to the fire.
But air fires weren't created yet either. So where could the cherries smell be coming from?
I noticed some heat coming from the grates.
And I just looked the other way and kept walking.
Down, down, down.
Down to Abbey. Which you can watch on PBS.
Or Amazon.
Or PBS.
Hashtag Amazon sponsor us.
Alright, cool. These poems are awesome. I'm so excited for people, like, once we accrue a bunch of these, like, see it on Vivino and be like, who are these
what
people?
What is this?
Now you know why these reviews are being created, because we just have, you know, our minds go in random directions.
Everywhere. Everywhere and anywhere.
Is there anything else to do with our episode?
To wrap up?
Oh, Vivino Wars.
Vivino Wars.
Oh my god.
Each of us should choose one of these and do this.
I agree with that.
Okay, great.
Alright, so now we're doing our favorite freaking section.
The most famous section that we have.
Vivino Wars! If someone, well, the same
friend of the pod, mm-hmm. might be making us a sound effect, but...
If anyone else wants to make a sound effect for the Vino Wars.
Because he's busy about to be training to be a general manager, so
He's got a lot on his plate.
Yes, I totally understand. So, we're also looking for maybe updating our logo,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, there's a graphic designer in the house.
Yeah, we would love to sync up. So, anyway.
DM us on Instagram.
IG, at that sound talk. And, I've updated on the website, but... just so you guys know, because in the past episode, it was a different handle. On Vivino now, we are vivino.com/user/thatsoundtalk. It used to be Soundtalk. I used to have Soundtalk as our thing for Anchor mm-hmm. and for Vivino, but now we are That Soundtalk across all platforms. Yeah. Woo! Okay, so I'll kick us off. I'm going to be doing the Pinot de Ennui. We're drinking the 2019 vintage, but with Vivino, it has all reviews. So what's really funny is when I was reading these, someone said, a little soapy on the palate. And I was like, oh my God, Fiona, someone literally wrote that. And then I looked and it was Fiona. She had just reviewed it across the table for me. And I was like, oh, okay. And maybe I'll just like that.
Although I do have to say now that I've been drinking it for a minute, it's growing on me.
Does it open up?
Yeah. Like that could be part of it too. Maybe we were supposed to. So this is another thing, folks. Maybe you should open your wine earlier than like immediately.
Yeah. And they always say like airing out earlier wine is sometimes better than like later wine. Like 2019, maybe this just needed to, you know, maybe I do need to buy a decanter.
I'll go see if I can snag one.
We need to get a decanter, and we need to get like a really cute like wicker like leather wine bag.
I'll ask my old boss if we're doing the fire sale yet.
Yes. All right, so I'm reviewing this, and I picked two reviews, and they are reviewing different vintages of this wine, but it will just be in the same imagination that those wines drink similarly. So the first review I'm going to read is from Joe K. They're reviewing the 2016 vintage, and they rated it 3.5 stars, and they go, for a Pinot de Ennui, heavy-bodied and light tannins, decent table wine, but lacks the angularity that the grape can express. The next review I'm going to read is from Adam Lang, who rated the 2016 vintage back in 2017, and they rated it 3.5 stars. And they go, lots of bell pepper on the nose up front, leading to spice and white pepper. Bright acidity with long, thick legs, but really medium-bodied with okay tannins. It has a lot of features of a, quote-unquote, bigger wine with smaller wine drinkability. Currently enjoying with a slight chill and a side of cacio e pepe.
Ooh, actually, that sounds really good. Yeah. Oh, because the cacio e pepe, like the spiciness of that with this. Like,
yeah.
Mm.
And then this other person named Dootsie Williams comments, one of the dry wines sent me, which I have no idea what that means. But
one of the dry wines, send me?
Sent me. But I love the name Dootsie Williams also. But anyway, I think it's consensus.
Yeah.
This was actually pretty, a good tie, but we know who won.
Mm-hmm.
It's Adam Lang, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, congratulations, Adam.
Congratulations, Adam.
Just so you know, you've won our Fiona drumroll, please. Approval! You won our approval.
Congratulations.
Okay.
Again, I'm really, like, it is one of those things where it's like, is it that I've been drinking it and so it's, like, changing my palate? Or is it opening up and I'm liking it more because, like, I'm actually really enjoying the Pinot de Nuit.
Yeah.
More now. And I'm actually really interested to see what it, like, I want to try this later tonight. Like,
yeah,
cork it up. Yeah, I want to see, like, how it impresses.
Yeah.
All right. So if it was not clear, I am doing the lo-fi. I'm doing the sparkling Chenin. Let me just pull it back up because it went away. All right. So the lo-fi Tres Hermanas Petit Naturel Chenin Blanc. This is the 2019 vintage. Something I was commenting to Anthony on is there's not a whole lot of reviews on this. Wow. Probably because it's still like pretty new.
Yeah.
And also like lo-fi is like a small production.
Yes.
Winemaker. So I have my two. My first one is Nico D's. Nico, uppercase D, lowercase S.
Okay.
They write, big apricot, green apple, pineapple, cinnamon, wax, faint smoke, carb is nice. Like carbonation mm-hmm. is nice. I'd have to agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, in contrast, Kelly Stoeklin. Sorry, Kelly. I don't know how to...
How do you spell it?
Stoeckland.
Yeah, like Stoeckland or Stocklin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get back to us if you're listening and let us know. Yeah, correct me.
I mean, people mess up my last name all the time.
Yeah, we'll read corrections also if you have any corrections for us. Again, DM them to the IG, that's on talk.
Yeah.
So Kelly Stoeckland, she says, she gives it 4 stars. I forgot to say the stars for the other one. She says, very yummy, fizzy, and just the right amount of sweetness. Would be very nice to bring to the beach or a summer park day.
Ooh, this is hard because like one is like talking the taste and one's talking the feeling.
Mm-hmm. If it helps at all, mm-hmm. she's 4 stars. And the other one is 3.5.
Oh, man. And it has to be Nico D's.
Yeah, it's Nico D.
But Kelly was, like, on the money with, like, the setting, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, she put it in the right context.
Yeah. All right, well, Nico, you've won our... Drama, please.
Approval. Thanks, Nico. Thanks for playing.
Thank you. You've won big time.
Yeah.
So is that our episode?
I think we did it, man.
Oh, man. This was a longer one.
Yeah, it's my birth week. We had to go a little
Fiona is turning this Wednesday. Yes. So happy birthday.
Thank you.
Age is but a number.
That's what I think.
Aries season is upon us.
Aries season.
And my kitty cat is actually turning on March 29th. So aww. My little Coolidge is getting another year older. And he's the cutest little Russian blue. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yeah, thanks for being here.
Stay safe, drink wine, and we will slum talk to you later.
Slumcha!
That's